Saga Egmont presents Finding Love at Mermaid Terrace by Kate Forster, read by Katrin Walker Booth. Part 1. Chapter 1. Port Loudy had ideas above its station. The sign at the top of St. Martin's Road read, "Welcome to the coastal town of Port Loudy." At best, it was a large seaside village. Once famous for brown crabs and being the location of a film starring Dame Judi Dench, it was now so sleepy even the crabs took afternoon naps, no longer concerned with nets hauling them from their ocean floor slumber. Tourists came, not too many. There were enough visitors to help the village be lively in the summer and to make the residents feel smug in their decision to make Port Loudy their forever home. Tressa Buckland was one of the smug ones. She had been a holidaymaker with her family since she was born. Now, she was a full-time Port Loudian of 2 years, and she loved everything about living there. The way it looked, with its messy, coloured houses along the shore and the cobbled streets amongst the village. There was a sense of routine in a village as old as this, a certain way things had always been done, and though people came and went every summer, the routine stayed the same. Tressa wasn't one to argue about changing the routine. The familiarity of the village was what made her want to be one of the smug ones, who complained about the tourists but who knew the village relied on them to survive. On a warmer-than-usual February morning, Tressa swung her backpack onto her shoulders, adjusted her helmet on top of her messy black curls that refused to be tamed, and hopped onto her pink bicycle. At 26, she was one of the few single people in the village under the age of 60. Not that Tressa minded. She wasn't looking for a relationship. Her art was her true love, and that was enough for her. Tressa never tired of her daily ride from her house, Mermaid Terrace, her pale turquoise cottage that sat on the edge of the esplanade, overlooking the beach. It was one of four houses all painted different colours, and all with different names. Tressa pedalled her bike along the esplanade, warming up quickly with the sun shining while a light breeze touched her face. She had dreamed of living in Port Loudy since she could remember, and she had always looked at the coloured terraced houses and imagined her life inside one of them. She longed to have it filled with things her mother did not approve of, like a cat, and plates that didn't match, and jam jars filled with flowers and paintbrushes soaking in water. At the front of the terrace houses were a garden and a sea wall that overlooked a small patch of sand. If you walked across the sandbar at low tide, you could reach the rock pools where Tressa spent most of her time during the holidays as a child. Her parents lived in St. Ives, as did her older brother and his wife, who had young twins, but Tressa had moved to Port Loudy to escape them. Mermaid Terrace was her heaven, a stone house with a bay window that looked out over the few fishing boats left over from a previous era. She had bought it with money her grandmother left her. She often wondered if her grandmother had understood how difficult it was to grow up under the mothering of Wendy Buckland. Her parents' house was so grand and so perfect that people stopped to take photos of it. Inside, it was impossible to put down a glass or a mug without a coaster appearing from somewhere. Tressa used to wonder if her mother had a holster of them, ready to fling at anyone from 10 yards like a cowboy, protecting the heavy furniture from unsightly water rings. As she rode through the village, the freshly laundered tablecloths from the Black Swan pub snapped in the wind, bickering with each other. She waved at Marcel, the owner, who was sitting outside the pub drinking a coffee and reading the paper. Marcel made a lovely crab bisque with croutons, which was old-fashioned, but Port Loudy was that sort of place. This suited Tressa. She painted old-fashioned pictures that weren't popular with the art market, but they made her happy. Penny Stanhope, the postmistress, waved as she turned over the closed sign on the door. The post office also served as the bank, the local passport office, and the insurance office. Penny sold chutneys and jams made by some of the local women, a questionable shellcraft with googly eyes, and the occasional diamante for pizzazz. Port Loudy didn't really do pizzazz, so the shellcraft didn't sell, but the jams were popular. The bakery with its striped red awning was already open, the Cornish pasties just out of the oven, and the scones rising for morning tea. There was a small garden with a white picket fence out the side of the bakery, where tourists could eat their Cornish cream tea.